Welcome back. This is Mark Steiner right here on your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community. That's Ghost Town by The Specials. Jerry Dammers of The Specials was born on this day in 1954.
This is Stephanie Mavronis, producer for The Mark Steiner Show. This spring, Mark has been working with students at UMBC, the University of Maryland, Baltimore County, on a project called Baltimore Traces, Communities in Transition. It's an interdisciplinary project that brought students into Baltimore City to study neighborhoods, and they did that through conducting interviews with local residents and workers. This hour, we're excited to bring you the final result of that collaboration, the UMBC student-produced radio stories. We learn about Station North, a neighborhood that's been undergoing a lot of change, and we've been discussing that here often on The Mark Steiner Show. But first, we take a trip through the southeast Baltimore neighborhood of Greektown and explore its history, identity, and the complexity within it. Please enjoy.
Neighborhoods in Baltimore are continually changing, especially in terms of demographics and social economics. While such changes are often oversimplified and treated in black and white terms, how are they defined and experienced by those who are most affected by them at the local level? As part of the larger Baltimore Traces Communities in Transition project, the following program explores changes that have been recently shaping the diverse neighborhood of Greektown. Greektown straddles Eastern Avenue in between Highland Town and Hopkins Bayview Hospital on the east side of Baltimore. Drawing from the experiences and perspectives of those who reside and work in the neighborhood, this segment has been part of a semester-long project by students at UMBC in both American Studies and Media and Communication Studies.
You know, I'm sorry to say that I wish I was here 20 years ago, because this was truly Greektown. You walked, and that's all you heard was Greek in the area here. Now you walk, you hear, you know, Spanish, and you hear Greek, and you hear English. That's, you know, there's nothing wrong with it, don't get me wrong. This is a melting pot in America, and we all have to live together.
We live in this country that, when I was growing up, was called the melting pot. I think now the academics say it's more of a tossed salad. What a neighborhood like Greektown, what makes it distinctive and different is it's a statement of we're not melting into the melting pot. And if we are in this tossed salad, we're a big fat hunk of feta cheese and we are Greek, except, and this is very important, they would fight to the death for America at the same time.
It used to be 70 or 80% Greeks in the Greek town. That's what you know, it took the name. But now it's mostly the oldest people, and 40% they live here. Like, you know, my kids, you know, they move to Harford County.
I think a lot of people always thought that Greek town was like 99% Greek. Mm-hmm. And it never was anywhere near that, you know. It's always been, they were the prominent particular culture in the neighborhood, but they weren't the dominant numbers in the neighborhood. They were prominent because mainly because the church was in this community, and the church grew out of this community. But then, like I said, as time went by, the younger ones moved further and further out, although there's a lot of them are still members of this particular church.
We had over 2,500 families that lived in Greektown. I mean, all these houses that you see here, all these neighborhoods close to the church, they were all Greek homes. You could walk at night and never be afraid of walking at night, you know, on the streets of Eastern Avenue here in this area. All the stores basically were all Greek here in this area. So Greeks like to be with Greeks, just like the Hispanics today. They like to be with Hispanics. And, you know, the ethnic background of a civilization, of anything, you want to be also be a part of that.
I think some of my Greek neighbors are open to having new people in the community, but I think some of them are grieving that it's kind of changing. But overall, we kind of get along. I like the fact that it's become more multicultural. In the two blocks of where I live right now, there were like two families that were Latino. So that was like my big concern, like, wow, this is not as diverse as I want it to be. And since then, it's 2015, I think it's probably more than 50% Latino now. Also, besides living and moving there and seeing only two Latino families, there was a lot of Section 8, a lot of abandoned houses just on my block. So it was that, okay, this neighborhood will go in a good direction or a bad direction. But the reality is Latinos have filled in that gap where there was a lot of abandoned houses. Now there's families living there. So that means property tax is being paid, water bills. So it really is adding more money into Baltimore City.
As the Greeks, though, became more affluent and comfortable, they moved out. And they left, being the Greeks that we are, and we don't want to sell necessarily our properties, but we want to hold on to them. They converted them to rent properties, which is not necessarily a good thing because you find renters and they don't keep up the properties perhaps, so that can be a drawback.
Most of the people who rent in Highland Town are actually Latinos now because, again, it's the path of people moving from Broadway and Eastern Avenue going towards the Baltimore County. You know, I think that if St. Nicholas Church, Greek Orthodox Church, was not in Highland Town, it would be no Greeks there. You know, many Greeks has left out. There's a few restaurants who are Greek-owned, who are still there, who probably be there for a few more years. But many of them has moved out, and you've seen Salvadorian restaurants, you've seen Mexican restaurants, you've seen Dominican restaurants.
I'm Baltimore, the best food from Baltimore, Colombian food.
When it comes to ethnic neighborhoods, I live in Greektown, so obviously people expect to have Greek music, we have a Greek church, Greek restaurants, and that will change. I don't know what's the way before the Greeks move into this community that's very solid, but it's going to change, and I'm open to that. I think some people are, and some people might be resistant because, you know, we want to hold on to our traditions. But it's interesting to see every few decades how neighborhoods change. So I wanted to be a part of that change to see how it happens.
This used to be a bar next a couple of houses down, and they closed that bar, and we have Koreans who came and made it to a grocery store. And one morning I get out and I see they painted the walls yellow, you know, bright yellow, like very yellow. And I thought, oh my God, this is a horrible thing to look at. Being from the islands and from Greece, I'm used to blue color. You know, I want to see blue and white because these are my national colors. So I called. I said, you know, who told you to paint this? It was done. It was painted. And he said, you know, I don't know. I said, who is the boss? So finally, I see the boss and I said, you know, this is a Greek neighborhood. You cannot paint it yellow. He said, no yellow. You have to paint it blue. Blue and white, I said. And I said, look, go to Eastern Avenue, take a look at the stores and see what colors they are. Sure enough, he came back and he repainted his store, the outside of the stores.
We need to put a sign outside, okay? And we went through the city and we put the Greektown sign. And I said, you guys better put a Greektown sign before it becomes Hispanic. I said that, you know. Because we want to keep Greektown as Greektown. And we do a lot of traditional things here in Greektown. If it wasn't for the church, there wouldn't be no Greektown.
Now it's almost 40% is Spanish people who are living in town. Every residency almost 40-50% cover for this living. Yeah. That's why a Greek town is normal good enough for the beginning 1990 back to here. Now it's worse, yeah, very much worse. And horrible. Everybody cleaning alley to the nice, everybody came outside. When summertime, springtime, it's a good weather, springtime, things like that. People who coming out, they sit by front door. Hey, we see each other. Then they shake hands, smile. Hey, hi, like that, you know. Not anymore. I don't know who next door. I see in face, but we don't have no communication anyhow.
I think the kids bring the parents out, so the parents get to meet one another, versus initially it was step out of your house, get into your car, or walk down the street, and people didn't talk to one another. So even then, people engage one another. We've been doing a lot of community stuff in the park, in the playground, so people come out, and we just enjoy each other's company.
So I think it's probably a double standard in Greektown, where some of them be like, oh, these Latinos are taking over, blah, blah, blah. But yet, if it wasn't for Latinos, your livelihood would be jeopardized, because you cannot sustain your livelihood. Because if it's not Latinos, who's going to move there? You know what I mean? So that's probably what is happening. And I can understand people who've been there all their lives, how they feel. I totally get it. But, you know, life is in constant change. You know what I mean? It's the way it is. You may not like it, but I think if the change is a positive change, people need to take a look at that. And too often they don't, until if it affects their pockets, and then it's all of a sudden it's okay.
There is nothing one can do about changing hands. It's a natural thing. One comes after the other. So we don't know what is going to happen. The good thing is that they have just built quite a few properties. I think in total there will be about 1,000 new homes.
I personally have no problem with them. I actually like the homes and the way they did it, because it's clean. I mean, if you were here before and you've seen these warehouses, it was rat infested. It was just terrible. They just sat there for years and years. The only thing that sucks about these new homes is the parking. They should have done something with the park, and they got all this land between here and Boston Street, almost a mile away, and they're just cramming house after house after house so close together. They should have made like a parking lot for somebody to park into. Other than that, I mean, it's a great addition to the neighborhood. The house values went up a lot. They all these houses jumped to about 50,000 more than what they were worth before.
It used to be big warehouses there. Everybody went out of business, and then Nanny built these, excuse me, pieces of shit. $300,000. The one I live in, I bought it about 8 years ago, $40,000.
Why are they pieces of shit?
I mean, look how they're built. You guys walked around and see how they built? Piece of shit.
It's a new vibe. I think it's a new vibe. It's kind of renewing the area, because I think a lot of places have pockets of different cultures, and then to bring something else in kind of makes a subculture, and then it kind of has to integrate. So I think it's opening it up to, you know, what might have been forgotten at one point. It's opening up to new people and new opportunities. And it's also very nice because you have, you know, 895 and 695, yeah. And so I think it's, yeah. I think it's great. Yeah.
But it still seems a little, I don't know, out of place in this area. Because you have these, like all these homes, like my mother's home was in the 20s, mid-20s, you know, and these are new. It's like putting a round peg in a square hole. That's what it seems to me. That's my impression. Yeah.
Because it's hard to see it evolve from what you knew.
Yeah. But how's it going to fit in? It's like the people over there, do you see them? Do you not see them? You just walking their dog and that's it? Yeah. I don't know.
If the groups that are in the community are willing to sit down with each other, the groups are in the community are willing to get to know each other just on a, you know, light level, then there won't be any problem. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no need that everybody go with this, move in this direction towards this culture or these particular ethnic heritages or anything like that. Everybody can be what they are. It's just neat, but it's going to take the acceptance of letting people be what they are. You know? And then you get your meld. Then you get your mix.
You know, it's interesting about ethnic groups that a lot of times people end up going to, like, the Latinos go to the Latino stores. The Greeks go to their, you know, the Greek church or the Greek bakeries. But then we start kind of getting to know one another. Oh, let's come inside, or you just kind of look for, just to be curious. And the next thing you know, you're shopping in other stores you don't expect to be shopping. So it helps the economy also, I'm sure, for the other merchants in the area.
We're seeing a little bit of progress here at Greektown. At one point, you know, people thought that we're going to die out because we're inner city. But, you know, the good Lord has his plans. And that wasn't one of them, for this parish to die out.
There are several people who have come back, young couples, because they know that this is their roots, that they're close to the church. They can send their kids to Greek school and then to Sunday school and to the youth groups. And that's really what it's all about.
And the Latino community is increasing all over the United States. Baltimore is going to be no different. Unfortunately, Baltimore for a long time has been a black and white English-speaking city. And the powers that be want to keep it that way. But it's just nature is going to change that. I think that more and more people are realizing that when you have a large wave moving in, you can try to stop it, or you can just go with the wave. You can go with the flow and realize that you can't really stop it.
I told him one time, I says, in the sermon, I says in my speeches, and I said that this parish one day will be the beacon of Baltimore.
I have one Greek couple, they're seniors, Mr. Nick and Miss Betty. I love them. She brings me Greek dessert at Christmas time. And her husband delivers it to my house, and he will not just leave it at my door. He'll come every day knocking on my door to give it to me personally. Yeah, baklava. Good baklava. A Puerto Rican eating baklava during the holidays. Doesn't get better than that. Yeah.
You have just heard from Father Michael Pastricos, Rafael Alvarez, Maria Salpeas, Ed Rosinger, Angelo Solera, Maria Nicolaitis, Tina Harris, Sue Lee, Wayne Thompson, Ben Kazacheski, Reina and Harry Amarantidis, and Alfredo Santiago.
This segment has been produced by the following UMBC students: Zach Miles, Dan Armstrong, Miranda Clark, Norfleet Barnes, Brendan Byrne, Emily Cranking, Nick Pascarella, Melody Nazari, Katie Bivens, Norris Jaber, Hesham Hassanan, Jenny Nguyen, Calvin Perry, Tyler Weekly, Marina Fishbein, Nate Kroll, Maisha Zaman, and Professors Michelle Stefano and Bill Shoebridge. Thank you.
This is Mark Steiner Show producer Stephanie Mavronis. You just heard a student-produced radio story on Baltimore's Greektown, which was produced by UMBC students in collaboration with the Mark Steiner Show and the Center for Emerging Media. When we come back, we hear another round of student radio stories, this time focused on the Station North Arts and Entertainment District that's been the focus of many discussions here on the Mark Steiner Show. Stay with us. You don't want to miss it.
We're taking a very brief break and coming right back. And on the way to break, it's Can You Get You That by the Funkadelic. Calvin Simon of Funkadelic, born on this day in 1942.